Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50 Alive Redesigned. I am Shelley, your host for this podcast episode and all the other podcast episodes. So my guest today is Jackie Ulmer, and we just had a really great time. Go to my YouTube channel and watch the video. It'll be in the show notes below, but you can see her in her St. Patty's outfit. It was St. Patrick's Day when we did this interview. Jackie is a certified life and business coach, and her huge passion is helping people get out of being stuck and to get into having more of what it is that they really want. Jackie is huge on mindset. If you dream it, you can achieve it. And she says, my mindset is 80% of everything you do or don't do. So it's a really good conversation around mindset, network marketing, how women can start an online business, stop playing small, because we just have so much to give and share with the world. So before we get started with my episode with Jackie, we have a YouTube channel. I'll put the link down in the show notes. Go watch that. Sometimes the episodes are different because I don't edit them on YouTube. I just put the video up. And I'm going to ask you, my dear reader, to become a podcast ambassador. For $3 a month, you can support this DIY independent podcast. No sponsors, no ads. Links in the show note below. Okay, friends, on to my episode with Jackie.
Yeah, so I'll probably just get started by sharing a little bit of my story because that'll segue us into the conversation and probably provide some answers for the audience as well as create some new ones. So we'll just kind of go with that. So I originally started my career in life in the airline industry. I did a lot of different things, but ultimately landed in sales and marketing. And I always like to say I had the perfect job. I partied for a living. I flew around the world on an expense account in first class, wining and dining corporate travelers. I had one cardinal rule, and that was don't date pilots. I dated one, and I married him, and 32 years later, here we are still today. However, that created a little challenge when we decided to start a family. Someone needed to be at home, and of course, I knew that I wanted to be that person, but I have a passion for business. I have a passion for making money. I never could say that for a long time because nice girls didn't have ambition, and or at least they didn't talk about it and they didn't talk about money. But I've switched all that over the years, which is why I am so big into mindset and limiting beliefs, and what we put out there comes back to us. So anyway, long story short, I started looking around for different things that I could do to feed this passion along with being a stay-home mom, what I could do to build a business, build an income, and really do it on my terms. I really did believe that women could have it all, despite that commercial. Well, it was that commercial, mm-hmm. you know, Anjali mm-hmm. was the fragrance.
Fry up the bacon.
Bring home the bacon and fry it up.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to have to leave home to bring home the bacon. I wanted to figure out a way to do it. And network marketing kept rearing its ugly head, as I put it back in the day. And I could not have been less interested to begin with. And as I educated myself and realized it was one career that once I really understood the business model, it was the one thing that I could see that could allow me to move out of trading time for dollars mm-hmm. to truly build something on my own terms around my schedule. So I jumped in, and I'd love to tell you that I was an immediate success, but I was not.
Oh, as lively as you are, I don't believe that.
Well, but no,
it's true.
I had a lot of limiting beliefs.
Well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, a lot of, I think there's a lot of misconceptions, and I don't know necessarily who puts this out, but it's that some people are like, I don't want to get into that because it's just this quick, rich, get rich quick scheme. and it's not. So it's like with anything else in life, you know, you just have to take it piece by piece and work through it. I ran a half marathon several years ago and no one knew I was doing it. I just, you know, well, I trained for it. And they would be like, "You just ran a half marathon. Would you just like go do it?" And I said, "Yeah, I woke up one Saturday morning, put my shoes on and ran 13.1 miles. I'm like, "No, I didn't do that. You know, I trained for it." So it's just that it's like anything else. And I have talked to so many other network marketers who, I just jumped right in. I had no misconceptions. I had no like worries. I'm just like, "Man, this sounds like fun. I'm going to do this." But I think I'm maybe sort of the odd woman out there with that perception of network marketing.
Well, I don't know. And it's kind of one of those things where I don't really like to plant the seed in anyone's head that A, it should be hard. B, there should be any negativity surrounding it. Yeah. I know just doing my own work that mine was rooted in about my 13-year-old self when my uncle approached my mom and their sister about network marketing, which back in the day was Amway. And it, you know, for a number of reasons, nothing wrong with the company, but the way a lot of people did it created some misconceptions that unfortunately have carried themselves along in the eyes of some people about the profession. Yeah. But, you know, there's lots of ability, especially with the internet today, to educate yourself about what it is and what it isn't. And it's like anything, it is a business model that takes a set of business skills and then just doing those day in and day out and learning and mastering those, much like you did when you got up and put those tennis shoes on and started training for your marathon or your half marathon. It's the same thing. There's nothing unique or special about the tools and the techniques that we use to build the business. It's just a learned set of business skills. And I think where a lot of people go wrong is that, where most of us, 95% of us, aren't trained in sales. And I know a lot of people think that's a dirty word. It's really not. There's nothing more beautiful nor that pays better than sales when it's done correctly and when it's done in a way that creates a win-win for the person buying as well as the person selling. And those are the learned skills that create success in our profession.
One of the really nice things I like about network marketing, the time that I've been in it, is that there's a lot of personal development that goes into that learning, like not just the business skills, but all sorts of personal development. And one thing that you are an expert on and love to talk about is the mindset that you need to go into this business.
Yeah.
Why is that important? First of all, what is mindset? What's a mindset?
Mindset is, in my opinion, it's the way we perceive everything. So, you know, when we're first born, we're born with that feeling that we can have, do, or be anything we want. I mean, how many times do you see little 3-year-olds running around with towels that they've put on for Superman or Superwoman capes, and they truly believe they can be that, or they can be the next president, or they can become an astronaut. We're born believing we can do anything, and over time, society and norms and outside influences begin to shift all that and create those limiting beliefs. And not everybody experiences that, but most of us experience some type of negativity that shuts down our perception of ourselves. Not always, you know, I always say mine didn't come from my family of origin. My parents both told me I could do whatever I wanted, but outside influences, whether it's bullying, you know, that's one of the issues I had in fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And a lot of people do. So just those outside influences that begin to make us question, well, who am I to think I can do that? Or who's going to listen to me? Or I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy enough. Just little things that happen to us over time that can get in the way. And the reality of it is most of the things that happen only happen one time, but we relive those over and over and over again in our mind when we allow a fear, which is usually nothing more than a memory of something way from the past, we allow that to come back into the present, and we project it out into the future, and we allow that to keep us stuck. And that's the reality of it. We are the ones that hold ourselves back, and we often want to project that out to the rest of the world, but it really is us. And so it's just really reprogramming those limiting beliefs and working on a day in and day out basis. I say it's really simple. It's not always easy, but it's really working on the mindset that it takes to be successful in anything. And, you know, I mean, anybody knows that it plays out in everything, whether it's weight loss, fitness, a relationship. You know, good relationships don't just happen. They're fostered, and it takes work and it takes compromise and a lot of that. Same thing if you decide you want to lose 30 pounds or you want to run a half a marathon, you don't just get up and have it happen the day you decide. It's really working yourself through it and having that mindset and that belief, I can do this and I am going to do this. So that's really what mindset is. It's working first and foremost on those limiting beliefs, reprogramming those. And it's not necessarily getting rid of fear. It's pushing through fear. It's doing it in spite of fear. And that's courage.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a mindset such a situation, does practice make perfect? If you go out there and practice this moving past, well, how do you move past a self-limiting belief? And if you just keep practicing that, will you get better at that as you go along?
Well, certainly. And I always say, well, first of all, we have to get rid of the word perfect, because it doesn't exist. And I know you know that. So it's progress over perfection, really and truly. Yeah. And practice creates progress. And it reprograms the brain to say, when you can stop and look at a situation and say, what am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling anxious, for instance, to reach out to a person? We're taught one of the things that we do in network marketing is we meet people, we share what we do, and we at some point invite them to try a product, join us in the business, you know, launch a business themselves, work with us together. You know, it's basically those three things. And then we follow up. But what happens is we reach a point where somebody crosses our mind and we have a hesitancy to reach out to that person. And the question becomes, why? What's the thought that evokes? What's the feeling? What's the emotion? Where do you feel that in your body? And then if you just stop and get present and ask yourself why, if you get curious on that, and really allow your subconscious or really even your conscious mind to deliver the reason to you, you can work yourself through that and say, is this something that's happening right now? Or is this something from the past? And how is this affecting me? Do I want to continue to be this way? You know, so, I mean, that's a start of it, is just getting clear. When we feel any kind of fear, that really and truly is our subconscious, our non-ego self telling us this is not a thought or emotion that serves you. But our primitive brain wants to tell us, oh, that's not good. You don't want to feel this emotion, so you need to go do something differently. And really, that's not what it is at all. That's really, it's the other side of us. It's the non-ego side saying, don't focus here. This does not serve you. Yeah. But it takes some work to get to that point.
Yeah.
And limiting beliefs, you know, one person says no, then everybody's going to say no.
Exactly.
Not true.
No, it's not true. Exactly. One of the things too that I struggled with was recognizing, you know, anxiety, and maybe they're all the same thing, but like when I was recognizing it as being anxious, or as it being fear, and I really didn't know what was what. And so I had all these inappropriate ways, which I've talked about a million times, so I don't mind saying it, but I had all these inappropriate ways of getting rid of that horrible feeling that I had. So my first place to start was like, is this anxiety even, or is this fear? And then I moved to what is causing all of this. I was out running not very long ago, and I had a, and this is crazy. This is, you know, even though I think I have a pretty good mindset. You know, I don't really, I think I'm pretty good now being a little more self-aware, but I had to have like a minor procedure done several months ago. And so I couldn't do anything for like 6 weeks. So I get out and I start slogging, and I'm just like, oh man, this sucks. And then this voice in my head was like, you've been so lazy. You've let yourself gain weight. And I'm just like, I would immediately just physically stop. And then I would just tell myself to stop in my head. And then I would start slogging again. And then this thing, this voice in my head would be like, why have you gotten so lazy? And I would have to physically stop and then tell myself to stop. I didn't get much accomplished then, but I found that to be a good technique when I get these thoughts in my head.
And then those self-sabotaging thoughts, we all have them. I have a little trick. I stick my hand out and I'll put the little thought there and I'll just look at it and say, okay, what do you have to tell me? And then I replay it in my mind. And then I say, well, thank you for your opinion, but it's not valid and it's no longer needed here. And then I'll either flick it or blow it away or something. And it's kind of silly, but it's a pattern interrupt.
Yeah.
And I even laugh when I do it, but just the laughter and just the silliness of it really does break the seriousness of it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just allows me to kind of go back to, that's baloney. That's not who I am. That doesn't represent me, who I am, what I'm capable of, or anything.
Yeah, so. Pattern interrupt. That's a great technique. I couldn't think of that phrase. I like that a lot. So I talk to a lot of women, women in my group and women on my podcast and just women I know who, who just really struggle because they have been not who they are for so many decades, who they want to be or who they think they should be or want to be or whatever for so many years, decades. You know, like we get married, we have kids, then we get a job or we get educated, or we get married or whatever. And we don't know who we are. And so I think, you know, trying to figure out a mindset from a place that we don't even really know who we are to begin with. Was difficult for me. It took me a long time to first figure out who I wanted to be and how I wanted to get there before I could even think about, you know, trying to create this growth mindset within myself. And maybe it goes hand in hand. I don't know.
Well, I think there's a lot of that. And I think, you know, if anything, if we've learned collectively anything over the last year with everything that's gone on, it's that a lot of people, and I think this is something that women have experienced, a lot of women have experienced way before this, but all of a sudden we realize we're not in control of as many things as we thought we were. We have a finite amount of time left on this earth. Every minute counts. And you begin to look around and say, do I want to spend the next year even doing the things that I'm currently doing, doing it with some of the people who I'm doing it with? You know, is this serving my soul or is it soul sucking? There's a big difference, you know? And so I think a lot of it, so I think women have run into that for a long time because it's like you say, we get married, you know, we have careers, often we have children. And I know for me, you know, the last, not quite decade, but my daughter's 25 now, she's the youngest, but really the last 7 years, I started transitioning out of stay home mom, still had built a business for years at home, but you know, being a mom and everything that goes with that was a huge part of my identity. And there was part of it where I was like, now what? Although I had had my own business for years. Mm-hmm. So part of it was now what? And the other part was, wow, I have all kinds of opportunities. And I think it's really important to do that, to shift from the fear of letting go of things to the opportunity of the doors that are open to us. And it really kind of starts with doing that personal inventory. What do I love? What feeds my soul? How do I see myself wanting to spend the next year, the next 5 years, the next decade, whatever it is, depending on where you are in your life, how much longer do you want to work? How do you want that to be fulfilling to you? And what's your deeper purpose? Who's the group that you're here to serve while serving yourself too? And I think that's such a common thing with women. You know, we're caretakers first and foremost. And most often the last person we take care of ourselves, unfortunately, but that's often part of our deeper mission is how can I, you know, positively influence, empower, inspire, uplift, work with others to help them create more too. And that's where I believe at this age and stage in our lives, we have the ability to do that. And I feel like not to keep bringing it back to network marketing, but I believe that's a great opportunity to grow yourself and grow others. And it's kind of like you said, it is one of the best things about it is the personal development aspect of it. And the fact that your success really is predicated on helping other people.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think, you know, we have this really great opportunity, because I say this a lot, is that my grandmother, who died in the 90s, she in 1990 or something, she was 9 years old, had like 8 or 9 kids, was married to an illiterate dirt farmer in Arkansas. And I don't think she sat on her couch at night in a rocking chair on the porch at night in a rocking chair thinking, what's my purpose in life? You know, she just didn't have the time to do that, or the bandwidth probably. So I think we have a real opportunity, but sometimes I see, and it goes to what you're saying, sometimes I see women who are like, okay, yeah, I was a mom and I did this, and now that's not me. And they sort of settle into this fixed mindset. Like, this is all I can do. And I'm always telling women, and I'm so glad you said that, was that you have all these opportunities to just try it. You know, what if it doesn't serve you, then don't do it. One of the best things I have done is this podcast, because I have met amazing women who I never thought I would meet, like you. I mean, to me, you're just like, I don't know, like superwoman, like this great person that I've got to meet. So just getting out of that fixed mindset of where you are and trying something. And I agree with you. I think network marketing, first of all, it will get you out of the fear of putting yourself out there, for one thing, you know, because you do have to approach people more often than not. But then also it's, you know, a great opportunity to meet other women, develop some income for yourself. So I agree. I think it's a fantastic avenue, especially for women over 50, to create some sort of purpose in their life.
It is. And, you know, I mean, this little thing right here, you know, this gives us, I mean, we've got the whole world at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. And it's in our fingertips almost all the time, the smartphone, right? I mean, that gives you the ability. I mean, it's kind of like I've shared with you. I mean, I sold products and services in over 40 countries without ever leaving my home for 12 years. Yeah. I took my business online in 99, so I took it online a long time ago. But just like you with the podcast, wow, have I ever met amazing people who I would have never crossed paths with, and all because of technology and the ability to open doors and have conversations and see where they lead. Yeah. And just see where they lead. So it is fascinating. There's no time like now, for sure.
So I'm always encouraging women to, even if it's something smallish or small, you know, to step outside that comfort zone and try something. And to think back, you know, in the 70s, when we had rotary phones and party lines, and never in a million years did we ever dream that we would be able to, at this age, create a life for ourselves beyond our house or our, you know, our phone that was stuck to the wall and didn't go anywhere. You know, we were really limited, I believe, in the things that we could do back then. So I definitely think we should embrace, you know, all the things that we can at this age and just like ferociously gobble them up.
It's so true. And one of the biggest challenges that I hear, and our friend Janine is guilty of this, and I know you probably know this, but a lot of things that I hear from women in this age group is, oh, well, I'm technically challenged. I can't do that. It's too technical. And it's really not. I always say I'm not a super technical person. I've had a business online since 99. I built my own website. I did all those things. I have my own podcast too. I figured all of it out myself, and I still don't consider myself a techie person. I'm a marketing person, and I'm stubborn, and I refuse to not figure it out. But that's the thing. And, you know, I don't want to say that I walked, you know, 12 miles in 12 feet of snow to learn how to use the internet, but YouTube didn't exist when I started. Yeah. Now today, there's almost nothing you can't figure out just by going to YouTube.
By
going to YouTube and by saying, I can figure this out. If anybody ever in the world has figured this out, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing about it.
I was on the phone, I think it was yesterday, to Janine, and I said something about her being technologically inept or something. I don't remember. Yeah, she says that all the time. Yeah, and it's so true.
And you know what? That's a limiting belief. That's all that is.
Yeah. So you stop at Janine.
That's right.
Yeah. So I always tell the stories I do because I like to name drop, but I used to work for Doug Pitt, Brad Pitt's brother, and he owned this company that built websites for RV dealers, and they wanted me to write copy for RV dealers. Talk about a snoozer. But then they said, hey, you know, our dealers really want to learn to use Google Ads. They want to learn to do this. Can you do that? And I'm like, yeah. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, where in the hell do I even start? But I always am a big believer, unless it's like brain surgery or flying a plane, say yes and then figure out how to do it. You know?
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
you,
absolutely.
It's a way to keep your brain, your neural plasticity, your little rivers in your brain moving. It's a way to keep a growth mindset. And more importantly, it's a way to find your passions or your purpose, or like you were saying some earlier, something that really feeds your soul, which I think is so important, which I could go on a rant for the next half hour. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. you know, it's funny that you say that about the RVs and what a snoozer. It's interesting because the minute you said that to me, my mind went into marketing mode immediately, and I came up with a bunch of different ways that I think it would be fun and exciting to create content for an RV dealer, because stories are what sell. Yeah. And that's messaging. And that's one of the things that I teach everybody. So often my network marketing clients fall into this mode of doing nothing but promoting their company name, their company products. That's not what sells anybody. It's the story. So I'm immediately thinking, oh my gosh, if I'm an RV dealer, I'm going to line up, you know, all the people who've bought from my company who are driving my RV around and collect their stories and paint a vision and paint a picture of what's possible, because that's what's going to get people to buy. Not the, you know, that you can pop out two different sides and, you know, it sleeps this. All of that comes later, right? You paint the picture of this fantastic family trip that is going to be life-changing and unforgettable forever. Then you get down to the nitty gritty of all the rest of it. But yeah, you get people sold and seeing themselves right there sitting around the campfire that they've made in the wide open space. And they don't even have to be in a park because they've got this self-contained thing, and bam, you're off to the races.
Hey, Steve, but I love we're buying an RV. Jackie's persuaded me to buy an RV.
I can sell anything.
Yeah, no,
I'm telling you.
No, it's absolutely right. And I think it's really great advice for women, because I know the women in my group, and in particular the women that listen to this podcast, have what, you know, they call side hustles, whether it's their life coach or their creating courses, or they're doing network marketing. And I know that they really struggle on how to, because we are not the Instagram selfie generation, you know, so it's a new thing for us that we have to be able to put ourselves out there and know that it's okay to do that, because I know it's really scary for women as we, you know, like getting gray hair and things are starting to sag, and, you know, I don't have perky like a 20-year-old anymore. So
here's the funny thing about that. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If we meet at Starbucks for coffee, don't you look the same way?
As I do. I mean, the same way.
If you take a selfie, what I mean? So it's like, it's starting with that. We have this fear of the camera, and it's really not a fear of the camera. It's a fear of being judged.
Exactly.
That's really the fear. It's the haters, shamers, and trolls. I just did that on my podcast on Monday. Haters, shamers, and trolls, especially on social media. But the reality of it is they're out there anyway. Some of them are bigger and bolder on the internet because they can be anonymous, but we don't care. We have to let that go.
Yeah.
We have to let that go, because the people who, our tribe who's out there, who needs to hear from us, who needs that encouragement from us to say, I'm doing this and you can too. And it's so empowering when you do it and you attract that audience. And that's what I always say, focus more on the women specifically who are out there waiting to hear from you to give them permission, and you're inspiring. Pay much more attention to them than the handful of people. And it's usually that. I always say when people hesitate, I'm like, who comes to mind? Name the two or three people, see them in your mind, because that's usually it. One or two people who've shamed us in the past, who've said something ugly. We just have to either block them or let them go, because we're messing up because we're not getting the message out there to the very people who really need to hear from us. And when we can, again, a limiting belief, when we can shift it to that and to know that your story, as boring as it may seem to you, is the perfect story, the perfect words that need to fall on your audience somewhere out there who's waiting for you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Great, great advice. Great advice. You just, yeah, I love that. Oh my gosh, we've been doing this for almost 30 minutes. So before we go, a couple of things, Jackie, I want you to let my audience know where they could find you. And I'll put all that down in the show notes as well. But what is one yep. thing a woman, my audience who's listening to this, can do? What's one easy thing they can do today to start developing that growth mindset, to start releasing their fears and their anxiety and move forward in their lives?
I think the first thing to start with is, what is your deeper purpose? Get out a piece of paper and a pen and start to write that. What's your deeper purpose? You know, I struggled for a long time with trying to figure out my mission statement and my purpose and coming up with something super florally yeah. and, you know, whatever that sounded mm-hmm. like it was going to be life-changing. And the reality of it is, I'm not here to be the one that cures cancer. I'm not here to be the one that walks across the United States. Maybe I will, who knows. But here's what I finally figured out. And I think most of us have the same purpose. Our purpose is to live our lives, go through all the bumps and challenges and bruises and scrapes and everything that we do, overcome those, and then turn around and use as an example to put your hand down and lift another person up. The younger generation, whoever it is, our daughters, our, you know, nieces, whoever it is, I think that's most of the purpose that we have. Nobody gets out of this life without knocks and bruises and aches and pains and challenges. It's learning how to take those and say, I am stronger because of this. This was a gift to me because I learned this from it. And now I have the opportunity to help someone else that's going to struggle with the same thing coming up and help them navigate that. So I think it's really figuring out, what's your deeper purpose and how do you want to use that, whether it's in a career or a volunteer effort or whatever it is in this phase of your life, however you want to use that. And then say, how am I playing small by letting the limiting belief of who's going to listen to me? I'm not good enough. I'm not fill in the blank enough. Okay, I'd love to throw the word enough out the window. Yeah. We start off the morning usually. I haven't had enough sleep. There's not enough time in the day. I don't have enough time to eat healthy. I don't have enough time to exercise. We deal with not enough from the very minute that we get up. And if we can just begin to shift that by starting with our deeper purpose and figuring out a way to prioritize and get that into things, I think we can begin to release some of those limiting beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen to that, sister. That was fantastic. Yeah. So you have a podcast, you have all sorts of great things going on. So where can people find you?
Yeah. My home on the universe is streetsmartwealth.com. For those in network marketing, you can go to directsalesmagic.com, and I just have a little MP3 and a guide to help you understand how to do social selling in a way that doesn't annoy family, friends, and strangers. That's what I say. So that'll get you clued in on that. And then off my website, you'll find my podcast, mm-hmm. my blog, my YouTube channel. You'll find just about anything you want to about me, including my social media.
Yes. And I know, Jack, you work with network marketers, but I've been on your website. I've been appropriately stalking you on social media. So what you have to say, I think, can be applicable to lots of situations. Don't think that you have to be a network
really
marketer
is.
To just go visit Jackie's site and get her stuff. Yeah.
It's true. I work with a lot of life coaches. I work with, you know, online program and membership site creators. I work with authors. I work with anyone who really is a solopreneur who needs to get their mindset straight, develop their content and messaging, and get their marketing together. It just so happens that I've been in the network marketing space for 27 years, that's a niche that I've served yeah. for a long time. But once you figure out marketing, that serves anyone.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, hey, thank you so much for spending your time. It was a great conversation. I know it sort of went all over the place, but I just had a really good time talking to you. And And it was,
yeah, it's great. Those are the best kind of conversations, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, we should have brought wine. We could have been like girlfriends talking over a glass of wine or something. So, okay. Thanks a lot, Jackie. Sure. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Shelley.